This is JS Party, your weekly celebration of JavaScript and the web. Changelog Beats is now a thing. Check out our first two albums, Theme Songs, which includes this Sonic-themed JS Party remix, and Next Level, which is all video game-inspired tracks for your next coding or deep work adventure. Find Changelog Beats in Spotify, Apple Music, and the rest. Quick thank you to our partners, Fastly.com, Fly.io, and TypeSense.org. Okay, hey, it's party time, y'all. Oh my goodness, 300 episodes. Can it be that we have created 300 of these JS parties? I guess so, because that's how it works when you increment the number once every time you make a new episode. So we're here to celebrate, reminisce, and talk about the best of the fest with many of our JS Party friends. Amel is here. Hello, Amel.
Hi, happy to be here. Great job fake rhyming.
Thank you. I have a knack for fake rhyming, you know, not for actually rhyming, but for almost rhyming. Mm-hmm. They call that a slant rhyme here in these United States, but you wouldn't know that because you're over in Amsterdam, you know?
Yeah, I think that in Amsterdam, they would just call it bad. But
well, they're far more honest.
Amel is laying down the shade.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun one. All right,
so apparently hungover Amel is spicy Amel.
Oh my God, I'm not a hangover if it's non-alcoholic.
Enough said. That's K-Ball bumping in there. What's up, K-Ball?
Hey, excited about this. You know, I was realizing at some point, I think JS Party is now my longest running gig. I have been hanging out with JS Party longer than I've ever worked for a company.
Aww.
Wow. That makes us feel special.
Yeah.
What brings you back each and every week?
You all, of course.
Aww.
You set me up for that.
But you haven't been here for a while, so I'm wondering, what do we do?
I was here last week.
I'm just messing around. New job, you know, things get busy. That guy chomping at the bit just can't wait to say hoi hoi, but I won't let him until I introduce him. It's
hoi, hoi.
No, it's Nick Nisi. Oh, hey.
Preempted you.
You did. You're feeling salty as well. Chris, we're not sure if he's salty or not. He just rolled out of bed, but he said if I do one head lie, he'll get excited. I don't know. He didn't say that. I just made it up. Hi, Chris.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning to you. And of course, this is our 300th spectacular. So if you've been listening for a while, you know I've been relentlessly pestering you to send us messages, audio preferred, but text okay. And thank you all for writing in, for calling in. We have two voice mails to play today, and we have a bunch of listeners who will get shout outs, and I will read what they had to say. We're going to talk about some of our favorite parts about the last 100 episodes, some of their favorite parts, and just see where this goes. To do that, I thought it would be kind of lame if I were to just read all these messages. And I remembered my old friend HorseJS.
Hello, JavaScript developers. I just want to take a moment.
Nick, you know HorseJS, right?
I know of them.
Tell the people about HorseJS, Nick.
They were a Twitter account, are a Twitter account. I guess Twitter's not a thing, so they were a Twitter.
I think were is probably the way to say it, yes.
They were a Twitter account that would take fragments of other tweets and use them out of context that were all related to JS.
I will clarify that I do not regret using Redux.
Good times, very good times.
That's right. Very good times, and they would be very obscure.
Any JavaScript nerds want to get wrecked?
And so much so that there was other Twitter accounts that would explain the context for what HorseJS was saying, which was also really fun. One of my favorite troll accounts of all time.
React, it's okay.
And we actually integrated it into the show. So the death of HorseJS is really bumming out the JS party. In fact, we interviewed HorseJS one time, right, Nick? Me, you, and Divya interviewed HorseJS. And at that time, I had to decide how HorseJS was going to sound. And I thought it'd be weird to assign it a male voice, a female voice. And so I was reminded of that great movie, not Alice in Wonderland. What's the other great movie? There's just two of them.
Billy Maguire.
Somewhere Over the Rainbow. What's that movie?
You Lost the Rest of Us.
Wizard of Oz.
Yes. I was reminded of that great movie, The Wizard of Oz. With a horse of many colors.
You just have to think like Jared. I just had to put myself in Jared's shoes, you know?
That's right. Well, it's Alice in Wonderland and Wizard of Oz. Aren't those two semantically linked in your head?
For sure.
They are mine?
For sure.
Okay. Yes, just two great movies. So the horse of many colors. I thought Horse.js would be the horse of many voices. And so we've had a Horse.js on the show throughout the years in order to just spice up the show.
Node.js will be dead in 2 years, and you shouldn't learn Node at all.
Unfortunately, Horse.js died, and
Horse.js glue now.
Yeah. No, we don't know what Horse.js became.
So do you have a zombie voice for us, is what you're saying? We're right after Halloween. Zombie voice is appropriate.
Well, I thought Horse.js was dead, but remember in Lord of the Rings when Gandalf dies and he's Gandalf the Grey, but then he comes back and he's actually Gandalf the White and he's even better. Well, what I've realized is that Horse.js, the horse of many voices, is actually just like Gandalf. It's come back. It's even better.
Everyone, JavaScript is so cool. Have you heard?
And it did not want to read these listener messages, but what it was willing to do was to sing us a song.
Oh, wow.
If y'all could see Chris's face right now.
Yeah. Horse.js should just be the thumbnail.
Was willing to sing us a song in collaboration with Amel. The song is called...
I didn't consent to this.
Just wait. You're going to love this.
Oh, my God.
The song is called His Beloved TypeScript. And I will play it now for the first time and probably the only time in human history.
His Beloved TypeScript.
His Beloved TypeScript.
His Beloved TypeScript.
His Beloved TypeScript.
彼の愛するタイプスクリプト。
His beloved TypeScript.
His beloved TypeScript.
Seu amado TypeScript.
His beloved TypeScript.
他心爱的 TypeScript.
His beloved 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 TypeScript.
Seu amado TypeScript.
His beloved TypeScript.
His beloved TypeScript.
His beloved TypeScript.
His beloved TypeScript.
I don't know what it is, but I'm just digging the mood for this 300th episode.
I didn't know this was the Nick Fest.
I'm just wondering if Amel isn't the only one imbibing.
Honestly. Wow.
Chris, your reaction.
I have no words. What the?
I've left Chris speechless. That's a win. That's a win. All right. Well, thank you, Horse.js and Amel, for His Beloved TypeScript, the first and only song written and performed entirely by a horse. Sorry. By a horse. Okay. Let's move on. Kyle Beard, our first listener to write in. Hello, Kyle Beard here. So many good episodes, but I've listened to number 267, which is the future of React, multiple times. Very useful to get the perspective of the team behind RSC, especially at the time. I thought that might bring out a topical conversation about React server components and maybe server actions in Next.js 14 and maybe the use server directive. And who put that SQL in my React component? What are your thoughts on this? This is a hot topic. For or against, happy or scared?
So I have a reaction. So I've long been in favor of making it easier for front-end folks to build full applications. And I think, you know, we've moved in that direction for a lot of things. And I think generally that's good. I mean, that was the whole Jamstack thing. And we're doing that by letting you just know React and write other things. Okay, all these things are good. And I have recently, for the first time, had the experience of having to jump into two large existing Next.js full stack applications. And oh my God, they are terrible. Like, this is great for building simple applications. This is great for I have to access a little bit of data. But this is not one of the places where separation of concerns and getting rid of it makes for better applications. These things are tangled nests of like workflow dependent mess that are really, really hard to maintain and work with. And so I think, you know, enabling this type of stuff for simple things is great. And I also think that this is a place where, from what I have seen recently, this trend of trying to mash everything together and say, you know what, like, we can treat our backends the same way as our front ends and all of these different things has led to some really awful application architectures and maintenance nightmares and all sorts of headaches. And I don't know all of the reasons, but like, it turns out there's a lot of specialized knowledge in the front end. We've been trying to get that across to people for a long time, that this is a specialized discipline. There's a lot of important things to learn. It's not just simple things. It's not just, as one of my developers said, like, you know, taking JSON and shuttling it different places. There's a lot to think about. That same thing is true of the back end, and trying to mash it all together and not have to worry about it works great for small applications, works great for demos, leads to some really terrible, unmaintainable systems at scale.
You know, my thought on it is that it does seem weird. It does seem like it would be a tangled mess to maintain, potentially. I haven't really done much with it. I've done some Next stuff and ended up abandoning it because it wasn't great at the time. And from what I see on Twitter, it's still not great. But like, at the same time, I want to approach this kind of in an opposite way of how I approached React in 2013 when it came out. With that separation of concerns, like, they were, you know, bringing my HTML into my JavaScript, that seemed wrong and weird at the time. Now it seems like JSX seems totally normal and awesome. In 2033, is that, God, I hope I'm not still writing this stuff. I'm kidding. I would love to be writing it in 2033.
Well, if you're not writing it next, somebody has to be.
I really want to hear from Chris. I have some thoughts, but I feel like Chris's face is giving me like way more interesting things than what I'd have to say.
I mean, really, I have no opinion. I don't really know how to use React. I've never used Nest or Next or whatever the hell it is. So I have no idea.
Yeah.
I'm sure it sucks, though.
Chris, would you ever write a button where in the on click, you just put some SQL and run it immediately? That's what it is.
No.
Would you ever write a button?
I have written many buttons. I used to be an AngularJS pro.
I'm sorry.
Oh.
But not anymore.
No, I mean, Angular was, you know, a leader in its day, AngularJS specifically. I think even Angular in its current evolution is doing a lot of really interesting things as well. So yeah, no hate on Angular. But I think for me, like, this trend of kind of RPC, which is, you know, an old pattern that was popular a long, long time ago, you know, and back when single page apps weren't really a thing, you know. And so for me, it was really interesting. And this old pattern of RPC coming back, you know, so RPC, I think it stands for remote procedural call or something like that. But this is kind of a pattern that existed a long time ago before single page apps were a thing, you know, think PHP days and before. And so it's interesting to see this kind of resurgence of RPC, you know, in this Reacty, Nexty world. And then also, I think Signals is doing some of that work as well. Like, there's quite a few places in the ecosystem that I think are following this pattern. So I don't know. I mean, it's definitely not like something I'm personally excited about, but again, not having used it in production, it's hard to make an informed opinion, which, you know, based on Twitter, like, you would think everyone's using it in production and has like it well-informed opinions, you know? And yeah, RPC is definitely not unique to web tech either, right? Exactly. Chris just typed that in the chat. So yeah, I don't know. Not for me personally, but, you know, it's interesting. I'm eager to see how this plays out. I'm definitely curious to try it in production and see if it makes sense. I agree with everyone. Yeah. I think in the simple cases, okay, but as soon as it gets complicated and hairy, like, I would refactor that out very quickly. So, So that's kind of where I stand. But again, not having used this in production, it's hard to have like a well-informed opinion, which, you know, based on Twitter, you wouldn't think that.
Well, I'm withholding judgment until I see it in a more serious way, I guess. Right now, it's just like, here's a demo of one line, but let's actually see that in use. It did give me that response of like, this is exactly how I was writing my index.php files when I was in college. And those became giant piles of spaghetti code very quickly, and I needed something else. And so I don't personally ever want to go back to that lifestyle, but wait till we see more, because it's very much a
lifestyle.
Like,
wow.
Yeah.
It really does feel like a lifestyle. I agree.
It does, doesn't it? Like, here's how I write my web apps.
Yeah. Yeah. You're either writing it that way or you're not, you know, you can kind of fall right in one camp or the other.
At least then you were like, you were writing it server side and maybe like doing messed up stuff, but it was going to be executed server side and then rendered. Not like you're writing it and you don't know if it's a server, is it front end? Is it going to be a part of my SPA? Is it going to be? I mean, you do know if you know what you're doing, but when you come to something else, you're like, I don't know.
Right.
And that just seems somewhat more fraught.
Right.
I think these are only available in server components, but it is kind of interesting, right? Of like,
I'm not sure about
we
that.
Had this idea of we're going to have server components so we can write our same code on the front end and the back end, and that's good. But now we're going to, there's some things that you got to use client on, and there's some things you got to use server on. And really, is there actually a benefit from having these things both look like React?
100%. That's where I come down on it too. And like, I just feel like the messaging around like Next 13 and 14 and RSC has just been really jumbled and really hard to follow. Like the server component stuff on the outset, like seems like a really good idea. And it seems like this is pushing you towards a better practice of shipping less JavaScript to the front end. What is server actions? What's the best practice that it's pushing me towards there? It's muddied to me. And it just, I don't know.
Well, it goes back to our conversation with the React team on the episode that Kyle was talking about. I mean, that was like an hour and 15 minutes of which afterwards, I didn't come away feeling like spectacular about the story. I was just like, yeah, I mean, Dan was still kind of figuring out how to talk about it. And he gave us some analogies. And I mean, you can go back and listen to that. You'll hear Nick and I trying to follow along. And we are not inexperienced developers. It's just like the way it's been presented is not straightforward. And so it leaves you kind of...
I mean, I think there is something here that's interesting, right? So for a long time, we lived in a world where we had these really great ergonomic frameworks that were only available on the front end. And we said, oh, okay, we're shipping SPAs. We do all this stuff in the front end. There's a simple API in the back end. And then we said, oh, there's all these downsides of single page applications. We want to maybe be able to render on the server, send over HTML, maybe we send less JavaScript. Okay, let's do that. And we had server-side rendering. And then we've got, okay, these things are still kind of like a SPA, but they're server-side rendered, but they're still a separated front end. They're talking back to a back end that's written somewhere else that's handling our data. And people say, okay, like this is good, but now I still have to deploy two things. This is a pain in the butt. What if I could do all of my stuff in one application? I could have the benefits of the front, I could have the benefits of the back, I could do all these things together. And so they're trying to kind of go back to this whole like single stack application that you had in the world of a PHP app or Rails or something like that, and like kind of recreate that, but instead of going back to front, they're creating it front to back. Is that the right approach? Like for simple applications, that is great. They're like, I have yet to find something that is ergonomically beautiful and easy to work in as an old Rails application. Those are great. And they have technical limitations and they only meet certain things. And at some point you want that the power of a separated front end or something like that. So like, I think this is kind of in that same world. Like it's great for simple applications. You can do everything in one spot. You only worry about one deploy. It goes out on your you know, Fly server or whatever, but
Vercel. I mean, let's be serious. That's where it goes out, right?
Oh my God, Vercel is such a pain to deal with backends on. It doesn't do it.
All right, we got...
They're trying to fit everything into this front-end-centric world, which works for some sets of things.
Right. Well, I mean, for me, it's just like, you know, if we kind of take a step back and like look at, okay, well, why are we doing this? Oh, because we're not really handling these like loading states gracefully. And, you know, we're kind of failing users. We're sending them stuff up from the server that looks like it's ready, looks like it's clickable. When you try to do something, nothing happens, right? So it's like, okay, well, how do we get away from that? Well, like you can program you can write code around that, you know, like it's just kind of like, well, you know, I have this little stain on my carpet. Like, oh, great. Let me just bleach the whole room. Like, I feel like this is like taking like a mega hammer to a problem that like can be solved in a much more graceful way, just using like vanilla JavaScript and HTML, like, you know, and CSS. And so, you know, it's just kind of one of those things where I feel like that's the tool that we have as developers. You know, it's like we're going to try to solve our JavaScript problems with like even more complicated JavaScript. And I feel like we go down the complexity rabbit hole, and we're yes. just not incentivized towards simple solutions as engineers, you know? And so I mean, that's kind of really, it's a hot take, but that's like real talk. That's kind of like where I stand. But the other thing that for me that's
confusing, I think we have an episode that's like, would you like JavaScript with your JavaScript or something like right. this? You know, like,
yeah,
we pour JavaScript on. Remember JavaScript sprinkles? It's like we're still doing that, but we're putting it on top of a JavaScript pasta.
Right, yeah. right. Yeah. JavaScript with a side of JavaScript, right? For anyone who caught the Easter egg in one of our episodes.
Oh, yes. But JavaScript. That was great. You ask away JavaScript developers.
That was awesome.
Douglas Crockford calls JavaScript.
JavaScript.
Let me say that again. Douglas Crockford calls JavaScript a smelly language.
Soundboard.
Says it's...
Hey, JavaScript. Time. Oh, JavaScript. I love you me some JavaScript.
You
rabbits
and you JavaScripts?
Yes, oh you God. Silly rabbits.
Elmer Fudd says JavaScript smelly. Okay, we're gonna break the show.
Sorry,
brownies for breakfast or what?
No comment. I'm on vacation. No comment.
Okay, we need to move on. This could be a whole episode, but it can't be
well,
this
hold
episode.
Hold on, hold on. There's one important thing, Jared, though, which is we're announcing React features at a Next.js conference. Can we please can we talk about that?
The unholy alliance.
Like, what is going on here? Yeah, it's just this weird, like, murky waters where it's like developers, people have to understand, like, the React ecosystem is a Venn diagram and, you know, Next is a circle within that, you know, it is not encompassed, like, it's, they've got the order wrong. And so...
How big is the circle?
I don't know, but I'm saying a lot of people who use React don't use Next. You know, I'm, for example, me, you know?
How much of this is just, Facebook is trying to be profitable and Vercel's still flying high on VC money?
I don't know. Either way, it's sketch and we should definitely talk about it in a show. So we'll see. Conspiracy. We can move on now, but I just wanted to throw that out there.
It's an entire episode.
It's its own discussion.
But I want to hear from our listeners, such as Mikey G. Mikey G says, hello, this is Mikey G, which is how I'd introduce myself as well if I were... Mikey G. I started listening to JS Party last year and have no regrets. That was nice. I enjoyed episode number 281 as it not only included Jared's fantastic humor, but gave excellent arguments for a few methods of debugging, showing a different perspective. This was the yep, nope, debugging debate. And Mikey G knows how to make it onto the show. He gives me a compliment, and you know you're going on the show when you compliment Jared's fantastic, what was the word? Excellent. No. Fantastic humor. This is how Mel stuck around. Early on, she told me I had a beautiful brain, and I said, you're coming back,
right,
Mel.
Right. Your mind is a powerful weapon, Jared.
You're on. Oh, yeah. You're a regular. So this was, who was on that debate? It was Eric Clemens, I believe.
It reminds me just how little we do as kind of like engineers to kind of test for like the non-happy paths. Those assumptions are baked into so much code. I mean, you can look at failure states. It's actually kind of one of the beautiful things about being in the front end space as a web developer is, you know, that's a portable skill, you know, of being able to work in the browser. You hand me a URL, something's going wrong. I'm going to be able to look at these really rich tools that you don't get when you console log in Node. I can actually expand out, like, you know, variables and copy to the console, like you mentioned. It's almost always like at the network layer where we see that, you know, some happy path assumption isn't true anymore. And then that's whenever all the problems arise.
And Nick didn't show up, so I had to both moderate and debate. Isn't that right, Nick?
I think it was this one, yeah.
That was a good time. That wasn't like the time that Mel just didn't invite you. It was different.
Oh, God.
Remember that one where you said anybody can come on except Nick?
Oh, I definitely have never uttered those words. And yeah, you're just a troll, Jared. That's what I realized. You know, I think it's taken me so many years to realize this about you. And you love to troll on air. You know, when people can't really like roll up their sleeves and like punch back, you know?
Oh, please do. No, I don't ever stop somebody. I mean,
I'm a lady.
Chris has been coming at me for a long time.
I'm a gentle lady.
Okay. Well, thank you, Mikey G, for writing in about my fantastic sense of humor. Let's move on to our first audio clip. This is Horse.js. No, just kidding. This is Jarvis Yang.
Ooh,
I just
Jarvis.
Want to listen to that song a few more times. We all know Jarvis. Yeah. He's been a long time listener and community member. Let's hear what Jarvis has to say.
Jarvis Yang here. Please include the This is going to be lit episode, but include at least one Lewis Litt quote. I was hoping for at least one reference from the TV series Suits. Interesting episode anyways. Keep it up. Thanks.
Okay, two words. Mud bath. Okay. There we go. There's a Litt quote.
So I confess to not being a Suits watcher. So I'm out on Lewis Litt. Otherwise, that probably would have made it into a subtitle or something. But I don't know Suits. So I had to go Google this after Jarvis brought it up. But Amel, you must be a Suits fan.
Oh, Suits is great. Suits is amazing. Granted, like, it's taken me several years to get through the last season of the show. I think I have like 4 episodes or 6 episodes left. But yeah, great show. Lewis Litt, great character. Thank you for bringing up that analogy. Jarvis, you rock.
Y'all will be shocked to learn that I have 0 pop culture or TV awareness. And so I didn't even know this was a thing.
I am shocked.
We are not shocked.
I am shocked.
That's just right on brand for K-Ball. You don't know K-Ball doesn't watch TV or movies?
We've never had this conversation. We're always talking about careers and JavaScript. So I feel like we haven't gotten there.
I tried Suits. I tried 3 episodes maybe, and it just wasn't sticking. So then I went to and started Billions, and I'm on the final season of that now. And Rick Hoffman is actually in that as well, and he plays a skeezy doctor who lost his license. It's pretty funny.
I also haven't watched Billions. But I did watch some Lewis Litt quotes on YouTube, and thanks, Jarvis. I might check that out now with Amel's seal of approval as well. It might be next up on my list. This episode, 284, this is going to be lit with Justin Fagnani from Litt HTML.
There was a project at Google one time called Razor, which turned into a project called Sky, which turned into what people know today as Flutter. And it was a fast subset of the web that was designed to be embeddable into other apps and be, you know, 120 frames per second fast on mobile devices and whatnot. Flutter is good at what it does, but it's not the web anymore. And I actually think the web could really benefit like Electron desktop apps, like mobile apps or whatever. I just want the web to have even more reach than it does now. And I really wish it had this kind of small embeddable subset that, say, Servo could target as a thing it could support without supporting the whole web or something like that. People could embed into their super apps in China or whatever, where the micro apps come into them and stuff. Like, I wish that there were, the web, the good parts.
And that was K-Ball and Amel. Awesome episode. So thanks for shouting that one out, Jarvis.
What's up, friends? I'm here with one of our good friends, Firas Abukadije. Firas is the founder and CEO of Socket. You can find them at socket.dev. Secure your supply chain, ship with confidence. But Firas, I have a question for you. What's the problem? What security concerns do developers face when consuming open source dependencies? What does Socket do to solve these problems?
So the problem that Socket solves is when a developer is choosing a package, there's so much potential information they could look at, right? I mean, at the end of the day, they're trying to get a job done, right? There's a feature they want to implement. They want to solve a problem. So they go and find a package that looks like it might be a promising solution. Maybe they check to see that it has an open source license, that it has good docs. Maybe they check the number of downloads or GitHub stars. But most developers don't really go beyond that. And if you think about what it means to use a good package, to use a good open source dependency, we care about a lot of other things too, right? We care about who is the maintainer? Is this thing well maintained? From a security perspective, we care about, does this thing have known vulnerabilities? Does it do weird things? Maybe it takes your environment variables and it sends them off to the network, meaning it's going to take your API keys, your tokens. Like, that would be bad. The unfortunate thing is that today, most developers who are choosing packages and going about their day, they're not looking for that type of stuff. It's not really reasonable to expect a developer to go and open up every single one of their dependencies and read every line of code, not to mention that the average NPM package has 79 additional dependencies that it brings in. So you're talking about just, thousands and thousands of lines of code. And so we do that work for the developer. So we go out and we fully analyze every piece of their dependencies, you know, every one of those lines of code, and we look for strange things. We look for those risks that they're not going to have time to look for. So we'll find, you know, we detect all kinds of attacks and kinds of malware and vulnerabilities in those dependencies, and we bring them to the developer and help them when they're at that moment of choosing a package.
Okay, that's good. So what's the install process? What's the getting started?
Socket's super easy to get started with. So our whole team is made up of developers, and so it's super developer friendly. We got tired of using security tools that send a ton of alerts and were hard to configure and just kind of noisy. And so we built Socket to fix all those problems. So we have all the typical integrations you'd expect, a CLI, a GitHub app, an API, all that good stuff. But most of our users use Socket through the GitHub app, and it's a really fast install. A couple clicks, you get it going, and it monitors all your pull requests. And you can get an accurate and kind of in-depth analysis of all your dependencies. Really high signal to noise. You know, it doesn't just cover vulnerabilities. It's actually about the full picture of dependency risk and quality, right? So we help you make better decisions about dependencies that you're using directly in the pull request workflow, directly where you're spending your time as a developer. You know, whether you're managing a small project or a large application with thousands of dependencies, Socket has you covered, and it's pretty simple to use. It's really not a complicated tool.
Very cool. The next step is to go to socket.dev, install the GitHub app, or book a demo. Either works for us. Again, socket.dev. That's socket.dev.
Let's hit up our next listener, Lars Ellingson. He says, there have been so many good episodes that it's hard to choose. One of my favorites was the Yep Nope debate episode on whether React is only good at being popular.
Ooh, good choice.
So yes, we've been having this conversation before. It was cool. That's episode 244. And with Josh Collinsworth, I believe, who wrote the blog post, came on and debated. That was, I think, called the Spicy Debate Show, Spicy React Debate Show. And it did get very spicy.
You know why React is so high in satisfaction? Because it's so complicated to use, it makes you feel like you're a total ninja when you're using it.
Feel called out.
When really all you're doing is using 10 lines to solve a 2-line problem. Mm-hmm. It makes you jump through so many hoops that you feel like you're on American Ninja Warrior reaching the top of that giant thing just for writing a little bit of code, when really they made you do this. This was just solving a web problem.
I enjoyed that one as just a listener. I think, Nick, you moderated and did a mighty fine job.
Mm-hmm.
Did I also win that one? I think I won somehow.
You never win if I'm moderating.
I always win. He says, I had just been getting to the point where I felt more confident in React, and that episode opened my eyes to what else might be out there. I also really enjoyed the recent episode diving into Nick Nisi's toolbox, number 278, where for the first time I heard about WesTerm, which is now my daily driver. On a funnier note, the line that made me laugh the most had to be Amel's revelation that the sound DMX made on most of his songs was supposed to be him barking.
That was, honestly, that was like a very real revelation, you know? He was like, I had no idea.
Wait,
you know?
What did you think it was?
I still have no idea.
I didn't know.
Wait, what is the sound?
Some DMX.
Do we have this on the board?
No, we don't have it on the board. I did put it into the episode. Elon Musk says X will fund legal bills if users treated unfairly by bosses.
Okay, I'll keep it as true.
Amel?
Yeah, definitely true. I mean, it's so ridiculous. It has to be true. Like, you know, it's how I feel.
So ridiculous. It has to be true. But is it actually true? Did he actually say that? Or did I make it up? Whole cloth. It is true. He said that a couple weeks ago.
I asked you to repeat the title because I was curious if you said Twitter or X. And you were trying to get us on that.
Oh, I wouldn't be so malicious. You know I fully support X.com.
Is this where we start playing DMX?
X gon' give it to you. Wait for you to get it on your own. X gon' deliver to you.
DMX. That's what I was saying. When you listened to our show a couple weeks back, I was saying DMX is rolling in his grave right now because he's getting all of his cool songs getting steamrolled.
I never realized that what DMX was doing on so many songs was barking. I like.
What do you think he was doing? coughing or something up?
I had no idea that was a bark.
He was just trying to DM us on X.
It's just like, ow, 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 you know? Anyways, I'm sorry.
Ooh, that would be a cool new feature of X if that was the DM sound anytime someone DM'd you on X.
No, there should be like ringtones for you. DMs, you know? That's a feature, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Anywho.
Amal, can you make that sound?
I mean, it was basically like, you know, and I don't know. I just thought it was rapping and making sounds. Like, how am I supposed to know that was barking? Like, that's such a random thing. Like, you don't assume a human being is barking. You know what I mean? But alas, he was. Also, I have to say, for the React show, that was like my debut with that song, which I feel like has gotten so much general airtime. The dangerously set inner HTML.
Oh, yes.
You know what? You know what? You know what? My favorite, when I say favorite, I mean favorite not feature of JSX is dangerously set inner HTML. What's so dangerous about HTML's inner parts? I don't know. But they're dangerous on the internet of React. React's internet, of course. That was a really fun show. Yeah, K-Ball, you were on the opposite side, right? You were on the opposite team.
We were going at it. It was great.
It was great. It was great. We were just like, it was just like one ridiculous argument over the other, you know?
I love those Yup Nope shows. They are so fun.
They are really fun. You should do them more often.
I agree. It's difficult to come up with a premise that will be defensible on both sides and not pylons. We've probably done 5 or 6, and it's almost like, I just can't, like, whereas the JS Danger stuff, like, I can just come up with new questions. It's seemingly infinite, but like with Yep Nopes, I can't come up with the debates often enough. And so I've tried to have K-Ball help me. Maybe this is a good ChatGPT kind of a thing, but if you're listening and you have a good premise for a debate, just shoot me an email or hit me up in Slack, because I would do these frequently, more frequently, if we had good premises more frequently.
SQL belongs in your React components?
Yeah. I was going to just say, I was literally just going to suggest that. I was like,
that's a good one.
RPC thing, yeah.
I'll also say that we could probably reuse some of them too, because opinions change over time and flipping sides and
Same debate, different sides.
Yeah, we could redo the React actually, taking into account the new patterns, you know?
Chris, have you ever been on a debate episode? I feel like you have, but I can't think of which one it would have been.
I feel like I was on one a long time ago.
We did one about, should we rebrand JavaScript, which was like because of Oracle and because...
Yeah.
And I think you were on that one. How'd you come down on that one? I can't remember.
I don't know.
Don't know. Don't care. I think the answer was it should be rebranded as JS. Mm. And here at JS Party, we are in full agreement that it should just be JS Party.
That was episode 101. We're out of scope for today.
Okay,
to talk
sorry
about that episode.
That goes way too far back. Let's hear from our next listener, somebody else who called in. This is Brian Zellup, who's also been on previous shows calling in, so a familiar voice. Here's Brian.
Hey, this is Brian Zellup from Baltimore, Maryland. Looking over the past 100, I realized the shows that resonated the most with me were co-hosted by Amel. I always look forward to her insights, experiences, questions, and especially her ethics. Some of my favorite moments included the ESM modules history, web components via Lit, the show with Alex Russell, the episode on Playwright, the important CSS, and more. Thanks much to JS Party and the whole Changelog roster for keeping an open, explorative, and thoughtful discourse going. We really appreciate you. And I've already got a JS Party tee, so please give mine to Amel if she doesn't already have one. Cheers, y'all.
Oh my God. Wow. That was, I'm blushing. Thank you so much. I'm kind of like the grandma on this show. Like, I kind of pull all the vegetable shows together, you know? It's like, kids, we don't really want to talk about our transition from CJS to ESM. But Granny ML's going to force you, okay?
This is going to be good for all of us. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You'll thank me later.
Exactly. So that's my MO. I really appreciate it. And yeah, thank you. Looking forward to the next 100, I guess, right?
I feel like in some ways that goes back to your first episode mm-hmm. with us as a guest. Weren't we talking about TC39, which is another very vegetables show?
I was going to bring that up. It was at Node.js Interactive, and K-Ball and I were talking to you about, I think at the time you might've been at Boku, and you were writing tests for TC39, like testing things. And like, you brought such amazing insight into that side of the process. And like, it was, I just agree with everything that he said. It's awesome.
Yeah, thank you guys. Thank you. I love the show. It's such a wonderful platform. You all are like such engaged listeners, and you know, it's a wild industry that we're in. You know, the constraints are always shifting, the requirements are always shifting, the web platform is always shifting, you know, so and we somehow still have to kind of get things to our users, so you know, as well as professionally develop. So kudos to all of you for listening. Thank you, and yeah. Grandma out for now.
That guy sounded like Steven Seagal.
True.
Really? How does Steven Seagal sound?
Are you really as good as they all say you are?
Every once in a while.
Kind of want a voice like that.
Gosh, how cool would it be if Steven Seagal had an alias that he used just when he listens to the JS Party? He calls in as Brian Zellup. I mean, that would be amazing.
I think we need to get Steven Seagal on the show now to help corroborate this story, you know?
Yeah, confirm or deny.
Exactly.
Next up, we have Chris Torres. Or is it? Or is it actually some other celebrity that poses as Chris Torres? Okay, Chris says, console.log, hello world. Nice intro, Chris. This is Chris Torres, a web developer from Carson, California. Aside from the occasional front-end feud episodes, I love the playful banter between Jared and Nick on the controversial topic of TypeScript.
It's not controversial.
I beg to differ, Nick. I beg to differ. It clearly is. Listen to this. There's more. Apologies to Nick, but I am and always will be on Team Jared.
This sounds made up. I'm sorry. You're not a real person. Nice try, Jared.
No, Chris says, I find it very entertaining and fun to listen to. Anyways, please bring back JS Danger, as I am an avid fan of Jeopardy. It's been forever since the last episode. Other than that, thank you so much for bringing me joy and awesome content every Friday. I truly appreciate it. Thank you, Chris. We appreciate you writing that in. Yes, I do want to bring back JS Danger. I started to do more feuds because we had the nice formula of like podcast versus podcast. And because front-end feud is more communal and less antagonistic. You know, Jeopardy is one-on-one-on-one, and it really is how much you know. And if you go back and listen to those, I mean, I was under fire as the writer of those questions, especially one time Suze and Emma were just coming at me. And I'm like, I don't need this in my life. So the nice thing about front-end feud is it's the people versus the audience, right? The ones who filled out the survey. They're the bad guys. And JS Danger, I'm the bad guy because they're like, why would you write a question like that? You know? And so I shied away from it, but I do enjoy it. We have all the code we need to run the game board. So I will.
At least we agree that you're the bad guy.
I mean, it's rude when I also win every time. So, I mean, no wonder I somehow end up pulling it out. But yeah, I'm down to bring back JS Danger in 24. We're unfortunately booked through the end of 23, but in 24, I'm down for some JS Danger.
Yeah, and by the way, the fact that like until this day, you know, Jared still trolls Nick and Nick still reacts like it's his first time getting trolled. It's pretty funny. It's like, you know, it's just like y'all constant. It's like it's such a Tom and Jerry situation. You know, Jared loves to troll, and I think Nick loves to defend, you know, so it's just this, like match made in hell, really. You know?
So. My favorite part is how Nick declares it not a controversial topic. And then right after that, he gets owned by the listener who agrees with me.
It's so real. Sorry.
No, you're a real person, Chris.
Directly contact Nick with some form of government ID and let him know that you are indeed real. Let's hear from our next listener. This is William V, who says, I love the episode called Spicy Fonts and Static Sites, where they discussed the awesome use of 11D and just kept talking even after the pod was supposed to end, pushed me to want to subscribe to Changelog++, which is better, I'm told.
Changelog++, it's better.
That one was cool. That's Zach Leatherman. Of course, we're going to keep talking to Zach. We've known Zach for many years, and it's hard to stop talking when you get the three of us together after a long time of not talking. You know, a lot of these people, when we have them on the show, it's like the only time we get to talk to them just because life is busy and we're all doing our different things. And so many times you're like catching up with old friends and then you feel obligated to talk about a specific thing until the show is over and then you can just chat. So that is a good place for our Changelog Plus Plus extended episodes. I can't remember if that one actually had an extension on it or not. I mean, it must have, but
I will say that I was looking for it. That one's even older than the last 100. That's
outside of scope,
but it was a good one. It was a good one.
You walked off the end of an array and now you are in memory.
I mean, we could be celebrating all 300. I feel like 300 is a pretty big milestone. It doesn't just have to be the last 100 that are amazing.
Fair. Thanks for just bloating out our scope here. This is how feature creep happens, people.
I'm just looking out for the user.
Is we just keep expanding.
Can I give a shout out to someone or someones? I think it's really been primarily one editor, but we just got to give a shout out to Jason, our sound editor, who's fantastic.
Heck, and
edits all of our shows, makes us all sound way smarter, and just does a fantastic job. Like, we throw him so many curveballs. Like, right now, I'm in Amsterdam, if I sound crappy audio-wise, and otherwise it's fine too, but specifically audio-wise is because I'm using Pixel earbud headphones because I forgot to bring my travel mic and I haven't had a chance, but he'll fix this up and make it sound way better. And so I just want to say thank you so much, Jason. We love you. And you work really hard and you're a huge part of the show. So thank you.
Amen to that. Thank you, Jason. All right. Next listener message. This is from Mikhail, who says, my favorite recent episode was on the TypeScript Wars.
So yeah, I don't know. Should we pull up that tweet and read it out loud, Jared? I'm not logged on to Twitter on this machine. And I'll have to pull it up on my phone.
Well, I think I'm sure Rich has it open. You got the quote tweet there.
Rich is like, it's embedded. It's a feed embedded in my brain.
It's the biggest mistake of the last week. It's got to be right there.
I'm already live stream. I'm recording this podcast through Twitter. It's through an iframe on x.com, you know?
So a little bit of context around. So David Hennemeyer Hansen, he's the creator of Ruby on Rails. He's a very outspoken developer and business guy, quasi-professional contrarian. He's very good at taking a contrarian view. And he has a library called Turbo, which is a JavaScript library that helps your website go faster by basically hijacking anchor clicks and replacing them with Ajax non-full page refreshes. It's a long-standing thing that's on its eighth version. It's gone through a lot of iterations. Actually, we use it, the older Turbo 5, I think, on changelog.com have used it for many years. It's decent software. And it's an open source project that's pretty much controlled and managed by him and his company. And they took TypeScript out of Turbo, not the way that Svelte did it with JS doc comments, but just by actually removing it wholesale. And DHH wrote a blog post about why they did this, and he had a tweet about it, which Rich has now found, which says, so farewell, TypeScript. May you bring much rigor and satisfaction to your tribe while letting the rest of us enjoy JavaScript in the glorious spirit it was originally designed, free of strong typing. So that's, I think, probably a pull quote from the blog post, as his typical fare is. So that's the context. And then, Rich, you want to dunk on,
him again? You should read this in your Jay-Z voice, you know, or your Barry White voice, either one, you know.
Hang on, I got to find my own tweet now.
Yeah, I like the Barry White voice. That was
cool. Okay, here we go. You want me to read out my own tweet? This is...
Oh, I can pretend guitar.
Okay.
Doo-doo, doo-doo.
So, just again, for context, a lot of people had already been attacking. This sounds like I'm an absolute psycho. Okay.
This is like being forced with your bad decisions, like the morning please after. I'm sorry to make you read your naughty tweet on
the walk of shame.
If I
had spent a little bit longer on this tweet and thought a bit more about the reaction, I probably need to change some of the wording, but here we go.
Okay. But here we go.
Did you know that you were going to be reading it out loud? I'm just kidding.
Did not. Removing types from your own code is clownish, epically misguided behavior, but whatever, to each their own. Removing types from a library that other people have to use, however, is just user hostile buttery.
Is that even a word that we can, yeah, that might even be censored.
We'll have to find out whether or not it gets bleeped, but it's a great, that's a great turn of phrase, I think. This was the one that Amel refused to bring Nick on, even though I lobbied for him. I'm like, come on, he deserves to be here. He needs to represent his side of the argument. And she's just like, no, I've heard enough of him.
I understand.
This is a manufactured controversy, okay? Nick was invited. Nick was the first person I invited on that show. He his body just chose the wrong time to get sick. So,
yeah,
just wasn't able to make it. But that was a good show.
I mean, the rumor was all the hubbub actually made him throw up because his beloved TypeScript was so under attack that he was literally.
I was silenced.
Couldn't even show his face.
Oh God!
Now's your chance, Nick. What would you have said?
Yeah, you tell Rich Harris how it is.
I listened to that show and it was great. I loved Rich's take on it. He's got a very level set take on the whole controversy, and I thought it was great.
It was a solid show, and it's like really great to be able to like walk through that nuance with Rick and learn directly from him on some of the like very nuanced decisioning and also kind of the benefits of that decision from, you know, for him and his team. It was fantastic.
It really did. Like, he was the perfect person for that too, because he's gone through the process of being in TypeScript and switching back and laid out the valid reasons for that. And I think it was different than the controversy at the time, because like he still very much supports the end users of Svelte using TypeScript. And that is the most important thing. I understand why he wants a build step to be missing. That's totally fine. Because it was like a double build step in Svelte, right? And so that makes total sense. And I thought it was a really insightful episode.
It's a weird world, Nick, where the most important thing is that people use TypeScript.
Why is that weird?
But it's your world, and I'm just living in it. Why is it weird? Well, because there's other tools in the toolbox. Maybe not in your toolbox.
No, I think his point is it's important that other people are able to use TypeScript, right?
So no, but I'm trying to take a sentence out of context, K-Ball. And I don't need your help to recontextualize things. I'm winning over here.
This is what I do. I put things in context.
Oh, God.
That's my job.
God.
K-Ball, you know, they have a word for you. It's called buzzkill, you know, back in the day. That's what they call K-Ball with the context. Actually, guys, it's not the correct context. Okay. Back to Mikhail's message. So on that show, I kind of went on a mini rant about developer identity and how we need to be able to detach ourselves from our tools and float above the short term. And to that, Mikhail says, as a new front-end dev, I love telling people why they are wrong for not liking the thing I was told to like. So there you go.
Oh, yeah. And I want to say, Jonathan, I'm sure this is Jonathan Creamer, right? So Jonathan is in our chat, and he just said that he loved the recent, quote, the death of Node.js has been greatly exaggerated show. And he said that it was so much fun to hear from the folks like Mateo, you had, and provide context about what Bun is trying to be. Yes, I agree. And he also loved the show Automating the Pain Away, which he was on like almost a couple years ago. That was a really good show. John, we need to have you back, Jonathan. Consider this an invitation.
For 2024, because unfortunately, we're all booked out for 2023. Let's hear from Nelson. Hi, this is That Kid. One of the best pods was Recreating Node.js with Eric. The talk gave me inspiration to dive into the depths of Node. I'm not a contributor yet, but someday I will be. Thanks for the show. That was a crazy episode. K-Ball, wasn't that you and I interviewing him all about how he recreated Node.js from the ground up? A simplified version.
That's actually a key to becoming a good developer and to going deep and all of these things. It's like,
yes.
Once you get outside of the domain, you know, it's going to be hard. Yeah. There's going to be dead ends. There's weird esoteric knowledge that somehow has not made its way into the documents or into ChatGPT or into whatever else you're using to teach yourself. And you're going to get stuck for a while. And you got to like not give up too easy and keep banging your head and try changing your question or your search phrase until you figure out what is the weird thing that somebody's documented in a blog post that wasn't picked up by whatever that gets you past that barrier.
It's kind of like a video game. You know, there's kind of two kinds of video game players. There's the ones who get stuck and they're like, this isn't fun anymore. I'm here to have fun. I'm going to move on. And I totally understand that because that's logical. Like if the goal is fun and this isn't fun, why am I doing it? But then there's the kind of video game player that I am where it's like, oh, I'm stuck right here. My life is going to be hell for the next 7 hours until I get past this level. And I'm just going to go over and over and over until I get past it. And it sometimes I feel like programming has been like that for me personally, where I'm like, I'm just stuck. I don't know my way out. Most of this is pre-GPT tooling, right? Pre lots of helps. And I'm like, well, it's me, you, and the keyboard here. Let's bang our head on it until we finally figure it out. And it sounds like you've persevered through some of that yourself, Eric, and getting this thing out there.
Yeah. In my case, there is always some voice here. There is a reason because why anyone hasn't done anything that you are trying to do, right? Like my video on recreating Node, there's no content on the internet. So this is why I'm building like blog posts, making right. a lot of stuff to try to get more people. But like when you're the first, this is very nice. Like, oh, this is, I was the first math science. I implemented the WebSocket protocol using JavaScript from scratch, like binary data and a lot of stuff because I was making questions. And this is very nice when you reach the point, but the path, oh my God, you think like, I'm going to give up at some time. Your mind like, no, you shouldn't do. You have a lot of other stuff to do.
Right.
Yeah, it was a fun one. I think Eric does a really nice job of kind of breaking down these things that feel overwhelming and hard and showing how they're not that different from problems you're probably already solving and kind of building things back up again. So yeah, I love having folks like that on. You know, it's a really important skill because I think getting into this industry now, there's so many layers of stuff out there that you feels like you have to learn. And really, most of it is like applications of the fundamentals in one form or another. And so, you know, kind of breaking that barrier of like, oh my gosh, this thing has been around for 15 years. How am I possibly able to, you know, dig into it and saying, you know what, it's using the same things that you're doing in your applications. Let's just look at how they're applied here and kind of making it accessible is super powerful.
Not to mention his enthusiasm for the content and just all things is contagious. And he makes you want to go and try things as well that you otherwise wouldn't. So we should definitely get him back on at some point as well. All right. Last listener message. This is from Nathan P. I loved the episode with Alex Miller, which focused on making web art through the affordances of grids and web APIs. The interview inspired me to start doing some creative coding in my free time. Some of my other favorite episodes were the interviews with Alex Russell and Evan Yu. I'm a big fan of JS Party. Thanks for all the hard work.
Alex is getting a lot of love today. I'm going to have to message him and tell him that he's at Web Directions in Australia. I don't know why I said it that way, but I did. And that's so cool. And that's amazing that you're making art. Have you considered making it in an NFT?
Ah, good question. Well, that's episode 275 with Amelia and I talking with Alex Miller, aka Space Filler, about indie web art and the work that he did, which was an essay/art piece/coded thing called Grid World. The emptiness of a totally blank page intimidated me by demanding that I make the first move, but graph paper invited my participation by steering my pencil in the grooves of its strictly regular lines. The grid was like a friend who had already done half the work for me. And I feel this exact same way, but I never really thought about it in those terms of like, why do I like graphing paper? Or why do I hate blank pieces of paper or an empty white canvas that is a browser viewport before you've actually put some HTML onto it. And it's like, there's just, you could put it anything anywhere. But so it's like ultimate paradox of choice, right? But with graphing paper, with grid paper, it kind of just like, hey, it's like approachable. Here's a starting place right here at this, you know, where these two lines cross. That's pretty poignant.
Thank you. Yeah. I think it's something that like I have thought about over the years.
I thought that was a really cool conversation. One thing about Alex that I learned on that conversation is that his dad made Myst, if you remember the game Myst, M-Y-S-T. Chris, you seem like the kind of guy who played Myst. Yes? Gosh darn it. I was like
you're trying.
I am trying really hard. You didn't play Myst? It was epic. It was classic. It was amazing. It was the dawn of the PC video gaming era.
You know, I think like at the time, I didn't have a good enough computer to play it because I remember it was very like graphically intense. Like I might have had a CGA monitor at that point.
Right.
You can still get it and go back and play it. My kids have actually, I have one kid who's really into puzzles and my wife remembered Myst fondly from her childhood and they went through it together.
That's awesome.
It's super fun still.
Yeah, it's an exploratory puzzle game and you're trying to like almost like escape the room because you find yourself in certain areas of this island and you have to get to the next area and you have to figure out some sort of puzzle in the area. And man, the satisfaction I just remember as a young boy finally figuring out how to do it, you know, the order of operations or what I had to put this thing in that thing. It's just pure joy when you unlock the next section of Myst. For me, it was probably next to Zelda, probably like the game that really turned me into a video game fanatic back in the day. So I thought it was cool just knowing the guy who made Myst's son and having a conversation with him, who is Alex Miller. And he's doing cool stuff too. So that was I thought that was kind of a deep conversation. A lot about art, a lot about the creative process. And happy to hear that it inspired Nathan to doing some creative coding of your own. So very cool.
It's really cool, Nathan. It's really unfortunate that a lot of people's their only experience of programming is kind of through like, let me talk to a database and get things out and show it on a screen or make an API. And there's so much more to writing software. And like, I would encourage everyone listening to this podcast to go do something creative. You want to do it the lazy way? Just go to scratch.mit.edu and just like use blocks to like make a little game. If you want to get serious about it, you can look at, was it PJS? P3? Am I thinking about the right thing? The right library? It's escaping me. We'll put the link in the show notes.
Phaser?
No, not Phaser.
D3?
It's called okay. P3.
D3?
No, not, well, D3 too. Yes, yeah, so you can definitely have fun with the P3.
R2-D2?
P3. Yeah, P5. Sorry.
G6.
P5. I was like, I knew I had the number wrong. P5JS.org. Yes. P5 is a...
X86?
Oh my God. Okay, stop. P5JS is a JavaScript library for creative coding with a focus on making coding accessible and inclusive for artists, designers, educators, beginners, and anyone else. So... check it out. We'll put a link in the notes. Like, do something with, you know, yourself, your partner, your kids, whatever, your friends, you know. Don't talk to a database, basically. Do something that's not that.
Right. Do not create, read, update, or delete anything. Just create. Just the C. All right. Well, those are our listeners' favorite bits. What about y'all? What did you think of? What did you care for? What do you want to hear more of on the pod? What were your favorite moments, and why was I there?
No, I think the real question is and why was Amel there? Because it sounds like
she's the star of the show, doesn't it?
I mean, it's just
Amel, your response.
Vegetable grandma, you know, I'm just peddling vegetables, you know. And the good thing about vegetables is they don't taste great, but they're really good for you. So, you know. No, actually they do taste great too.
Depends on how you cook them,
know.
Right?
Honestly, yeah, I think we've had like a really, you know, great arc. I think, you know, full disclosure, we're definitely looking at expanding the panel. As you notice, you know, we have a few people on our list that you don't really hear from as much anymore. People have had a lot of life changes. And so I'm personally really excited to, you know, for kind of the next chapter of JS Party as we expand the panel, get some new voices, new perspectives. Yeah, it's this fun show where we get to kind of talk about the thing that we love so much. I mean, we're so privileged. So here's to the next 100, I guess.
There you go. And while we're doing the vegetables analogy, if you roast certain vegetables, they're amazing. You know, even the smelly one. What's the smelly one? It's green and is in a circle.
Asparagus?
No, circular green.
Brussels sprouts.
Brussels sprouts. Asparagus, same exact situation. Although asparagus generally tastes better than Brussels sprouts when done poorly. Like a bad Brussels sprouts, awful. like just steam it and it just smells like a foot. And then you got to put that in your mouth. It's like, I don't like feet in my mouth. But roast Brussels sprouts, roast asparagus.
That is not a universal truth.
It's just one man's opinion. Okay.
Okay. Just putting it out there.
Are you saying we need to be roasting Amel here?
Oh, yes. Oh, the more we roast her, the better things are. No, my point is that when you take something that's good for people, it's good for your health, good for your career, good for your life, and you present it in a way that makes it good to digest. You like it. You like vegetables. Like, that's a win-win, right? And I feel like, Amel, that's what you do with JS Party. Like, you take these conversations, like the history of ES modules, boring, right? Like, don't care. Why? What's the point? And then it's like, no, this is good for you to know. You may not even know it yet. It's good for you to know. And the way you do your conversations, the way you host the show, you make it taste good and enjoyable. And so it's not like dry and boring and smells like feet.
I know. It's like Mr. Robin had a baby with, what's that guy? The funny one?
Tim Robbins? Or are you thinking about Mr. Rogers?
Mr. Rogers, sorry. Mr. Rogers had a baby with, like, what's that guy? Is his name Pee Wee Herman or something? You know, like, I feel like, yes. And then
both these men are dead, so this is becoming a strain.
Okay, and then they had a third baby. They had a third partner who contributed to the baby that was, I don't know, who do I? Oprah. Let's go with that.
Oprah. There you go. Okay. So Oprah meets Mr. Rogers, meets Pee Wee Herman, and talks JavaScript.
That's me. I was going to say Steve Jobs or something, but he's kind of mean. So couldn't think of, yeah, Oprah. But yeah, I don't know.
There you go. Put that on your LinkedIn.
Oh my God. That's what I have to work on this week. I have to work on my LinkedIn. It's like really outdated. I don't use it.
Oh boy. Ask K-Ball. He's been working on his LinkedIn.
Ish.
Not now. I mean, you got a job now, but you know, whenever you're between stuff, you got to work on your LinkedIn, right?
I was posting things on LinkedIn. Yeah, I still post some things.
Yeah, my job was recently impacted by restructuring. I don't even think anybody here knows this besides maybe K-Ball. I think you do. Yeah, K-Ball does. Yeah, so I'm like, not that I even want to be on the market again, but I will be. I've decided that I'm leaving. I'm not going to do an internal transfer. So, it's good times doing that whole dance. Yeah, I know. It does suck, but also, like,
yeah,
change fuels the soul, I guess, you know?
Sure.
So, yeah, so I figured, like, okay, well, I guess I should have an updated LinkedIn profile. Start there.
I don't know about you, but I find that whole process kind of bizarrely fun because you get to talk to, like, I don't know. I geek out on companies. Maybe this is the, like, entrepreneur in me, but like I geek out on like, oh, how are you setting up your business model and what are you trying to do? And so like interviewing places is kind of a chance to get people to tell you about all their different, you know, dirty laundry and how they probably will just show you the clean laundry, but like the ways that they're approaching things. So you get to talk to a bunch of companies and you're like, all right, well, how are you doing this? How are you setting up your dev process? What are you, you know, how does
LeetCode prepare you for that?
I have never once in my life done LeetCode. LeetCode to me is teaching to the test, right? It's like the equivalent of studying like for your SATs, right? There is some correlation between your LeetCode performance and how well you program. But when you study LeetCode, it is not helping in how you're going to do your regular job generally. And like there are people who are good at LeetCode and good at software development. And generally, there are people who are bad at LeetCode and good at software development. There are people who are good at LeetCode and bad at software development. Like that whole spectrum exists. So yeah, it can be worth it if you want, you know, if you are bad at taking the test, where the test is software development interviews, particularly at companies that like to do LeetCode style, right? But you are good at software development. It can be beneficial for you to spend the time studying LeetCode so that you can like ace the test so you get into the real work. But God, it drives me bonkers that is how so many people can run their interviews. We'll do cheat code for applying to jobs right now. Applying to jobs online sucks. Everybody's got 5,000 applicants and they're like machine parsing them and scanning them. Always get a referral, which you probably know that, Amel, but I'm surprised by how many people I've talked to who don't realize that. Like getting an internal referral is a low barrier thing. Most people will just do it. You can reach out to people at the company and be like, hey, you know, can we talk for a little bit? They get to know you. They realize you're a real person. You're okay. And you can say, would you feel okay referring me into this position? It just gets you past the machine parsing so you can actually talk to a human being, which is what the point really is.
Yeah, referrals for the win for sure. Yeah, I think for me, it's like I'm just kind of trying to decide where I want to land. It's like every place has its set of problems. You just have to kind of decide on which ones you're okay with living with and which ones you want to try to tackle, you know, because you're not gonna be able to fix everything. So it's like, which problems can I live with and which problems am I interested in trying to kind of, you know, drive change, you know, for. So interesting time to be like back on the market, but feeling oddly optimistic, I think, you know. So the hopefully that I end up in a good place. I'm really looking to kind of, I'm looking for kind of like my retirement job out of tech right now. And it's kind of weird to say that out loud, but like, I kind of have like 8 years of like wanting to like work at a corporation. So eight years left in my 10-year plan. And so, yeah, I don't want to be working for a corporation in 8 years. So,
well, if anybody out there is looking for an awesome, are you looking for manager jobs?
Engineering manager. Yes.
Yeah, awesome engineering manager. I hear a rumor ML is going to be on the market. So maybe jump the queue and reach out to her.
Yeah, reach out.
Well said. Nick, any thoughts from you on the last 100 episodes, on the next 100 episodes? Anything that's not Vim or TypeScript related that you'd like to say before we call it a show?
Why do you have to box me in like that, Jared?
You're just so predictable, Nick.
I will say one thing that I'm really excited about, or like one of my favorite types of episodes or segments that we do that I feel like might be going away is the Explain Like I'm Five piece. Like, I think that those are so fun and the stories that we come up with and tell and all of that. But no matter how we do those in the future, it's always tainted by, well, AI could have generated this. And it can generate it pretty well. So like the creativity is always in question there.
Are you tipping your hand or what are you saying here?
Oh, no.
I don't know. I feel like when I tried to get Eli Five to reproduce your Moana story.
Monad's hook,
and it was so much worse. I think you have a future in Eli 5 for as long as you want it, because AI is not taking that level of creativity away.
Thank you.
Right. As long as you stay excellent, Nick, because you know all of its stuff is very average, and you're excellent. So
I eat my vegetables and write my TypeScript.
Wait, no, I said don't talk about that. He snuck it in. You see how he snuck it in?
Eli 5, Jared trolling.
Bone Skull. What would you like to do more or hear more or see more of in JS Party's next 300 episodes?
So I was going to bring up an episode, but it is too old.
No, Cable, I'll expand the scope if you want to.
And so, yeah, I'll bring it up anyway. So when we had, I really liked the episode when we had Louis Villa on to talk about Copilot, and I would love to have more talks with that dude. Because it's incredibly interesting. If you have like, if you're doing open source or have interest at all in any sort of licensing, that sort of thing, he's just fascinating to talk to. And I don't know if he's doing, I think he was like, he like retired from talking about open source licensing and now he's looking at AI or something now. But yeah. Very interesting guy, and definitely those topics, I think, are maybe more underserved. Certainly, we talk about tech, and we goof around on the talk shows, but there's this whole licensing thing is just kind of a topic that I like to talk about, but yeah, I think it's useful.
Yeah, actually, on that note, what's in your package JSON? I don't know if that was in top 200 or, like, I don't know what number that is. But
yeah,
that was a personal favorite of mine, as was the recent show that we did with Matteo and James Snell, the Node show. Like, that was fantastic. Yeah, I'm just trying to think of recent ones. And then it's not published yet as of today, but it will be by the time you're hearing this. We just did a really great show with Valerie Phoenix on Tech by Choice and an organization that she started to help, you know, marginalized folks enter, stay, thrive in tech. And it's just fantastic. It was like such a real talk show. So I thought that was like, it really kept it very real. And I hope you all enjoy it.
Okay, we're going to try to take a real-time listener call as we're using shiny new features of web-based tooling. We don't necessarily expect it to work, but if it does, this will be a first for JS Party with Jonathan Creamer from the chat.
Hello.
Thanks for calling in. You're our very first live caller inner.
I'm excited.
So cool.
Yeah, this is rad.
What are you bringing to the party? I'll put you on the spot. Like, what you got going?
I am, I'm at Microsoft now since we last talked and, been enjoying that for a while now and still listening to y'all all the time. That Bun episode, that's the one I called out in the chat, was so good that I shared it everywhere I could inside the Microsoft Teams network that I have because I thought it was just awesome.
The one with Mateo and James? Yeah, that was solid.
Yeah, the one with Mateo and James, exactly. Yeah, it was so good, and it was prescient because everybody inside all of our team's chats was talking about Bun and everything, and I was like, hey guys, listen, just listen to JS Party, you'll understand what's going on, don't freak out, it's okay.
And they dropped so many gems, Jonathan. Like, I listened to that episode three times because there was so much that they dropped. It was like, just like gem after gem after gem, you know? It's like, man, like, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We're... Yeah,
I felt the same way. It felt so good to hear from them. And, because you talked about Bun, but then I also learned about like how the Node.js ecosystem actually works and, you know, all this cool stuff. So I thought it was really great. That's what I've been up to. Just doing my same DevOps stuff that I've been doing. Ben Legbodu, who you guys had on the show, another old episode.
Oh, yeah.
He and I were just at Connect Tech in Atlanta together. And we're talking about that DevOps stuff. He actually keynoted on DevOps, which was pretty cool, to about 400 people.
Nice.
So, because I think you guys had him on first and then me after that. And so now we're talking about like partnering up on it some more and doing all that.
Yeah, you're both overdue to come back, you and Ben. I spoke with Ben more recently and Ben is like, yeah, I'd love to come back. But and just obviously you, so you have an open invitation, but like we'll have to coordinate with you at some point.
Yeah, definitely. It could even be fun if we both did the same episode together, and talked about DevOps and
bam,
automation, because his keynote is basically about, you know, we love the idea of DevOps and helping people understand front-end developers who don't do front-end and, you know, it was all about all the different crazy tools that we use to do front-end stuff, even though we're not technically like writing JavaScript all the time to do that. We're doing Docker and blah 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 and blah 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 blah. But yeah, that'd be great. I'd love that. 2024. Let's get it.
There you go.
It's great. I mean, I love this idea of combining guests because our schedule is like such that,
Yeah, kill two birds with one stone.
Yeah. That'd be super fun. Kind of panel style.
No birds are injured during the killing.
Well, thanks for having me. Let me jump in here. I don't want to kill the party, but I wanted to say hey and how much I still love listening as both a caller and a speaker on past episodes. It's such a great podcast. Y'all keep up the good work.
We love that. Thanks. Thank you, Jonathan. Appreciate the call.
See ya.
Bye.
It's like the best listeners.
I'm just happy that worked very well. I think that this may have opened up a new idea for future JS parties, right? Like live call-in shows. We have the technology now. Talk to more listeners, man. Just like take some questions, take some comments. Mm-hmm. Hot takes, warm takes, microwave.
Yeah, but for... Changelog plus only.
plus. Come on, man. You left a plus off of that. Was that on purpose?
No, I just wasn't sure how many pluses it was.
Yeah, I think for you, one plus is about appropriate. You got to increment that sucker. It's an increment operator, Chris. You know increments.
Yeah.
That sounds like a good point to toss to Nick for the final word of this episode 300. If you do... anywhere near as well as you did last time I put you on the spot, we'll just have to close early. But Nick, I mean, here we are, episode 300. We're at the end of it. We have huge plans in 24. We now know we can take live calls. We have games. We have debates. We have deep dives. We have vegetables. There's just so much that's going to happen. What would you like to say as we close out our 300th episode?
Coming soon in 2024, in a world where Ruby on Rails is no longer cool, Jared tries TypeScript and he loves it. And he comes and says to Nick, thank you.
Oh, that was spectacular. That might actually get me to do it. Probably not. All right. that is our show. Thank you all for listening. Thank you especially to our listeners who took the time out of their busy lives to write us a nice note, to record us a nice message, or to hang out in the chat while we record. We don't do these things on YouTube anymore, and we're not keeping a set live schedule like we used to every Thursday at 1 p.m. U.S. Central. It's not like that. 1 p.m. U.S. Eastern, actually it was. We're not doing it like that anymore. We're giving ourselves a little grace, a little flexibility, but we are still sharing the link to the Riverside now with our JS Party channel in Changelog Community Slack before we record. So that's pretty much as far as we're going to be putting it out there. That being said, it's still fun to hang out in the chat, hear us record live, hear all the times I mess up or have to cough and start over, and be part of the gang. So if you are interested in that, head to jsparty.fm/community. It's totally free. Sign up and hop in the JS Party channel of our Slack to discuss with us throughout the week, not just during our shows, but whenever something interesting. Even join the Pound Funny channel, where Amel tries to be funny daily, maybe even multiple times a day, with fun posts of other people's memes.
I was going to just plug hashtag funny. We are the fastest growing channel in the Changelog community Slack. Almost 30 people strong, you know?
Okay, so let's get those numbers up, folks. You know, we got to keep going up and to the right of the funny channel.
We need the hockey stick like any good.
That's right.
New tech thing.
All right, for K-Ball, for Nick, Bone Skull, and Amel, I'm Jared. This is JS Party, and we'll see you on the next 100 to 300 episodes. All right, that is that. Episode 300, our second ever Best of the Fest extravaganza. If you enjoyed this one, go back and listen to episode 200 as well. Lots of fun clips, laughs, and super cool people on volume one of Best of the Fest. Speaking of super cool people, I'd like to give one more personal thank you to each and every listener who wrote in and called in. Like Amel said, we truly have the best listeners. JS Party wouldn't be the same without you. Thank you. We put a lot of love into these shows, so if you dig what we're up to, please do share JS Party. Pick a favorite episode and send it to a friend, or pick one of your least favorite episodes and send it to an enemy. Both good options, I think. And if you really appreciate the pod, support its production directly with your hard-earned cash via a Changelog Plus membership. As a thanks, we get you closer to the metal with bonuses and extended episodes. We save you a little time by making the ads disappear and more. Learn all about it at changelog.com/plus. Oh, and here's a pro tip that a couple plus members recommended. If your employer provides funding for continuing education, personal development, that kind of stuff, Changelog Plus is totally a good fit. So maybe that's an option for you. Thanks once again to our partners, Fastly.com, Fly.io, and TypeSense.org. And of course, thank you to the mysterious Breakmaster Cylinder for producing so many fresh beats for us. We're putting out full-length albums under the Changelog Beats moniker. Search for it in your music playing app of choice. You'll find us. That's it. This one's done. But come back and party with us again next week.
Okay, let me toss out one last hand grenade before I go to bed. Immutability is sometimes.